You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network. And a very good Thursday morning to you. Michael Francis McNamara. That's right, Francis. My parents tagged me with that one, my father's middle name. Michael Francis McNamara on a Thursday edition of All Marine Radio. The final day of our first year. That's right. So kind of cool. And we're going to, it's Thursday, so we talk transition today. We're going to talk to Bob Nielsen here in about 12 minutes. And we're going to talk to him about jobs and see what's going on at 100 Entrepreneurs and check in with him. So Nielsen, All Marine Radio, Turner Construction, trying to come together and find Marines looking for jobs in leadership positions. And Turner Construction is looking for you. That's right. Turner Construction is looking for you. Do you need to know about construction? No, you don't. You need to have, tell me if this sounds familiar, work with people, get things done. If you can do that, then guess what? They have a career for you. So we'll talk to Nielsen here pretty soon. Also, he's a Vietnam guy. We'll get his thoughts on Memorial Day, how he spends it, and get his thoughts on that. Bob Nielsen is, you meet certain guys in your life that have made a lifetime of helping other veterans as they navigate the world and life. Nielsen's one of those guys. Caruso is one of those guys. Caruso, big Italian knucklehead who just because he's loving on people all over the planet, gets involved in all kinds of stuff and helps people. And he's a good dude. So anyway, so we'll talk to half that team and we'll talk to Bob Nielsen today. Bob, a captain in Vietnam. And in the construction business for a long time, and then got involved in Bethesda, Walter Reed. Most of you have heard him on the program before, so you'll hear from him. Then you're going to meet a guy by the name of Curtis Jones, retired gunnery sergeant, United States Marine Corps. He crossed paths with Daryl Miller, who you heard on this program, I don't know, a few weeks ago. And Daryl helped him deal with his post-traumatic stress stuff. So you're going to hear Curtis Jones' story. And so Curtis going to come on at about 8 o'clock. And then the gunner's going to join us this morning. So it should be a good show. I have to tell you that, you know, one of the things that makes me happy in life is getting up to a clean kitchen. One of the things that I think is crazy in life is Hillary Clinton, though. How crazy is she? Let me go on TV and let me like slander the Democratic Party and let me blame everybody else and just start this shitstorm again about me. It's honestly, I find it astounding, right? That she does this stuff. It's amazing. The blame that she throws to everybody. It's everybody's fault that she is not the president of the United States. It couldn't be that, you know what, people didn't like her very much. It could be that, could that be it? No, of course not. But she goes on television and she gives these interviews and she just got into the Democratic Party, how it was bankrupt, how it didn't have lists, it didn't have anything. You know, and which, you know, it may be true, but whose fault's that? She's been involved in that little endeavor for a while, but the two organizations that our last president started had lists and had money, and he gave those to her. You know, the old adage, when you point a finger at somebody else, three fingers point back at you. Some people say four, but the thumb is not actually a finger. And so when you point at somebody, normally your thumb's not pointing at you. The other three fingers are, though. So technicality there. I must have learned that from some jackass who said that to me. Yeah, it's not four, it's three. Like, shut up. But anyway, yeah, so that in the news, it's just really, really astounding to me. The other thing that's in the news, that the bomb that went off in Kabul, I mean, that's a big explosion that kills 80 people. Okay, I said in Manchester, the ID that guy made to kill 22, that's a big, if he's wearing it as a vest, if he's wearing it as a backpack, that's a powerful, powerful explosion that kills that many people. Okay, and but when you look at the destruction that was done in Kabul, that's big stuff. And what they did was they ran it into a, they used to do this in Iraq. They would take water trucks, and this one was a sewage truck. And sewage trucks are worth their weight in gold because there is no sewage system there. And so you have all these porta-johns, and somebody's got to clean them out. And so a couple times a day, you have trucks that roll through, and they, you know, they hook up the hose, and they suck all the dirty water out. And they replace it with clean water. They go inside, they hose it out, and they replace the toilet paper. And they're all over the place. And evidently they packed one of these with explosives. And normally, it's an inside job because normally somebody has to check those. They have to check those. And so somebody allowed one through, and evidently it was stopped from going further into the diplomatic zone, and when it was stopped, it was it detonated. So that is, yeah, as I said, that's something that they used to do in Iraq on a regular basis. In fact, I interviewed a guy here. His name is Brian. He's from North Dakota. I interviewed him the first time. Right after the incident happened, but he's a PFC, and the trick in Ramadi was, and this is how good they were, they would see something that they wanted to annihilate, literally annihilate, blow it off the face of the planet. And what they would do was they would run two vehicles at this thing. The first one was to breach the gate. So normally there'd be a compound, and there'd be a building off the road, and we would occupy the building. And it would normally be, you know, four-story building, something that had observation in the area. And so when they wanted to destroy the building and kill everybody inside it, they would run the first vehicle, normally a sedan, an Opel, and they'd put like four or five, 1.5-2 artillery projectiles into it. I mean, so these are big explosions, right? So one of those things that you see, there'd be like five of those in there, okay? So you can imagine the boom. So that just annihilates everybody near the gate, and then they would have the second truck, which would be a water truck, a cement mixer, a sanitation truck filled with explosives. That would then, when the first explosion went, that thing was down the block, that thing would hit the gas, and it would come through the smoke, and it would drive through the smoke, get right next to the building, and blow it up. Now, thankfully, we never had them be successful doing that. But they tried on more than one occasion to run that little thing. And Brian Nagel, he was a PFC. He gets knocked down by the first blast. He gets up, and because he'd been schooled right, he sees the truck come through for the second blast, and he smokes it. And if you could see the video of this, it would drop your jaw. It would drop your jaw. Absolutely amazing. And so... So that's essentially what happened in, although there was no first vehicle, that That's the power of the explosive. God, I mean, how many artillery projectiles can you get into a water truck? And that's what it is. So it's a sanitation truck. But if you've seen, you know, water trucks driving around, you know, with the fresh water kind of cylinder on the back of it, that full of artillery projectiles. That's what got blown up in Afghanistan. So anyway, little news for you. Nielsen's going to join us. United States Marine Corps band makes it official. We'll check the weather next.
Country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
/7:17, Bob Nielsen standing by. So I need to get my ass in gear. We'll check the weather real quick around the country. The president will not move the U.S. Embassy in Israel to Jerusalem for the time being. For the time being. I told you, there wasn't a thing he said in that campaign that you should take seriously. It's the start of a negotiating position. Currently, partly sunny in Quantico, 70 degrees. Camp Lejeune. -79 degrees and partly sunny. Granbury, Texas. Raining in 71. Big Timber, Montana. 62 and partly sunny. 29 Palms, sunny in 67. Camp Pendleton, cloudy 62. Camp Smith in Hawaii, clear, dark, 76. Okinawa, Japan. Home of sun number two. reigning in 78. He's pissed. His computer broke, so he can't watch the NHL playoff. Oh, well, dude. Life sucks in combat. In Fallujah, 93 and sunny. At the home of Ballmer and Radio, cloudy in 61. Headed for a high of 73 in beautiful, sunny Southern California. We're going to take a break. This hour of Almery Radio brought to our friends at Battle Mug. So you're going to hear from them. And then on the backside of that, the one and only Bob Nielsen's going to join us. So, Almery Radio on a Thursday, Transition Thursday. We get it going. Don't touch that dial. This hour of Almery Radio is brought to you by our friends at Battle Mug, home of the world-famous Battle Mug. Starts at 10 pounds of aluminum. It's milled, machined, anodized, adorned with Picatinny rails, and then stamped with the serial number, and it's ready for you to make your own. Anything that went on your rifle or pistol can go on your mug. Scope, laser, camera, light. Put a lid on it, and you're ready for the field. If you're inside, add a flag and an emblem, and you're set. Perfect for any commemorative event. Farewell, promotion, retirement, birthday, anniversary, or get out of the doghouse. The Battle Mug is the perfect unique gift. Check out the entire line of product at BattleMug.com. Enter the promo code Marine for 15% off. Battle Mug is a veteran-owned and operated company. The product is made entirely in the United States. Check it out. BattleMug.com. All you Mustangs, listen up. The Marine Corps Mustang Association is comprised of Marine Corps officers and officers from other military services who share a common background. They are a group of men and women who initially enlisted and served with distinction in the Marine Corps and the Marine Corps Reserve enlisted rank. The term Mustang refers to a commissioned or warrant officer who has risen from the enlisted ranks. The Marine Corps Mustang Association was founded by Captain Robert Richter, United States Marine Corps retired, in Philadelphia on 10 November 1985 as a nonprofit veteran service organization. In their 33rd year of existence, the association continues to dedicate itself to the advocacy of professional development and the encouragement of younger Marines, demonstrating a pathway for advancement and offering mentoring, advice, and camaraderie over the course of their military service and civilian careers. The Marine Corps Mustang Association is looking for a few good Mustangs to join their association. Contact them via their website, MarineCorpsMustang.org. I say again, MarineCorpsMustang.org. Find them on Facebook. Go ahead and like them. Most importantly, join their association so that they can continue to do the great work that they've done for the past 33 years.
All I can say about MilitaryByOwner.com is, wow, I listed my house on your website for only 2 weeks in a tough rental market, and now my house is about to get rented. I will definitely recommend you guys to everyone in the military. Thank you.
Are you located near a military base? Advertise with Military by Owner for optimum exposure to the military community. Military by Owner has experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base for the past 15 years. MilitaryByOwner.com, proven and dependable.
My name is Juan Perez Jr. I joined the military in 98. I commissioned as an officer, but I always had in mind the idea that I would go into the special operations community, particularly special forces. I was accepted to go into selection, and I attended on September 8th of 2001. As I was making my departure out of the military, there was that uncertainty. What do I do next? How do I repurpose my skills in a way that's not only meaningful to me, but also that provides for my family and provides an increase in our a way of living, a quality of life. The Global South Foundation has resources when it comes to anything from building resumes to how to relate to a CEO in conversation, how to basically, again, repurpose that which I had learned in a career in special operations, dealing at the strategic and operational level. How do I take that and then turn it towards entrepreneurial spirit into business development? And how do I translate that so somebody can see that value? And in doing so, I landed a magnificent and very rewarding career. I'm the VP of operations for an IT company called BuildSourced. What I say to veterans getting out, be bold when you go to network. Go out to the Global South website, look at what events they have lined up, attend those events, you know, and participate. A lot of the events they hold, they're of key importance in this network. Go out there and engage, just like you would engage in a combat zone, you know, when you're networking there. With folks that don't share necessarily your language, your culture, or your background, and yet we still make it happen. How can we not make it happen here?
The Global Soft Foundation is a great partner of All Marine Radio. Find out more about them at globalsoftfoundation.org/Marines. You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network. /7:24 on a Thursday. Joining me is the spiritual father of All Marine Radio, Bob Nielsen. And that's no shit either, man. Nielsen was the first guy to like All Marine Radio in a big way and has been the great supporter. Today marks the last day of the first year, Nielsen. And so I need to say very publicly thank you for all the different doors you've opened to All Marine Radio, and people don't know what you've done to help. And I just in a very public way wanted to thank you, because the things that All Marine Radio does and the people that it touches, you are one of the driving forces behind it. So thank you very much for being part of this and for everything you've done.
Well, thank you, and it's been my pleasure, and I've gotten so much out of it. And just remember that Travis Green, a wounded vet, introduced us. So that shows you how the circle works.
You know what? Isn't it crazy how the circle works, and it keeps working. For instance, I don't know how Nielsen saw. I either put something on Facebook or Twitter. I don't know what I did about seeing Captain Luis Avila sing on the National Memorial Day concert that PBS did, and then you know them, right?
Well, I've been talking to him for the last year and a half here, because he came in and he was a really, really tough case, and for a long, long time he couldn't talk at all. But then he began to recognize me and gradually shake my hand and talk, and it's remarkable. And to see him on the Memorial Day concert singing on the stage just blew my mind.
And he sings like shit too, but it was the best.
That doesn't matter.
It was the best.
You'll never see anybody sing with his heart better.
Oh my God! I don't know who. I can't remember the woman's name who was the actual singer, but
yeah.
He would like. He would let it rip, and you would, he wouldn't drown her out, but he would come close, and it was the best.
Oh, it was unbelievable, and his wife Claudia has pushed so much to do this stuff, and to be able to do that in public and in uniform. I mean, it's unbelievable, and when you think 6 months ago he couldn't talk, it's astounding.
You know, you have had a seat, and I know you must see it on a regular basis. He's only half the story, and we keep telling these different stories from Ty Edwards to who was the story that we told before Ty Edwards. She flew around the country.
Patty Horan. Caregivers.
Yeah, talk to a second about these wives that are like pit bulls relative to taking care of their husband.
Well, the thing that we don't appreciate, I mean, we all see the wounded vet, you know, and we all see what they've been through and everything. But the caregiver is stuck with this 24/7 for the rest of their life. And I remember the first time I thought I might have to drive Pat Horan somewhere. And I said to myself, what the hell do I do if he has a seizure? I don't know. Oh, Christ, I don't know anything about medicine.
Right.
But Pat Horan and Claudia, those people deal with this every day. And it's such a strain and stress. And when you see like Shannon Maxwell, what she's done with and for Tim Maxwell, and the general public does not understand or appreciate or give any time or thought for those people. And what they do is truly unbelievable. Elizabeth Dole, the Elizabeth Dole Foundation, has started paying a whole lot of attention to them, and they have a group that they honor of caregivers. But the rest of us need to pay a lot more attention to the caregivers, just like the Gold Star wives and Gold Star moms, what they go through. I mean, you can't imagine it. And it literally is 24/7. And there's no instruction book. There's no guidebook. There's no Caregiver for Dummies book out there.
And every one of those cases is different, too, right? And it's not like, oh, yeah, you're going to go down this path, because everybody's injuries are different, and you've got to figure it out.
You talk to Ty, the Marine Lieutenant Colonel, and you talk to Pat Horan, both for severe, severe head injuries, and two completely different experiences in their recovery. And the truth is, what I learned watching all this is a whole lot we don't know about the brain and how it repairs itself. You know, in a way, it's like rebooting a computer, except the computer has been dropped in the trash can.
And the brain just got shot through and through.
Exactly. And you know, these are the vets with a substantial chunk of the brain removed, and the other parts of the brain develops the ability to do some of those functions. It's remarkable.
It is amazing. You know, talking to Ty Edwards, and he's describing his gunshot wound to the head. First of all, I need to interview. I got to call him today. I want to interview his wife, Anna.
She's remarkable.
Anna went to 29 Palms from Florida because she was in love. And I was talking to him about, I would have loved to have been around to see, sitting next to her in the car when she saw the Morongo Basin, and then they were like, what? I'm like, that woman's in love, man. She's straight up in love.
You know she wasn't in love with the geography.
Oh, my God. Are you kidding me? But, no, their story. And then you hear Ty say, yeah, I was shot through the left side of the head. And I said, and somebody made a comment to me about, you know, you would never hear an interview like this anyplace else. I said, what do you mean?
Yep.
He said, well, you ask him, you know, was it through and through? And he said, yeah. And then you said, well, how much your brain is gone? And he said, I don't know. You know, a fair amount. He said, you know, it's like we're comfortable in this discussion of missing limbs and missing parts of your brain and things like that, where most people, when they hear it for the first time, they recoil at it because it's not something that you talk about. But in our tribe, it's not something that we essentially shy away from.
And I met Ty 5 or 6 years ago down in Tampa through Tim Maxwell. Tim Maxwell was putting together one of his first retreats for wounded vets, and he was going to have it down in Tampa. And Ty and his wife showed up, and he'd only been injured like a year or 2 years before that. And I was so impressed with Ty because he was having difficulty talking, but he kept stressing how good the help he had gotten and care he had gotten from Tampa VA. And he would stress things that I'd never thought about, like drug control and stuff like that. And, you know, he was this remarkable guy. And it was astounding to watch. And so here you got him on the radio program, and he sounded fantastic.
Yeah, you know what?
It's remarkable what they're doing, but it's an ongoing process. And the truth is, Michael, it doesn't stop. Pat Horan is still doing therapy now, and he's about to have his 10th year alive day.
That's amazing. That's amazing. And
yeah.
But, you know, again, the story, you know, the wife who becomes a caregiver and their fight. And as you said, there is no guidebook for dummies when your husband or your wife gets blown up and you're trying to put them back together. And but you know what? Watching Captain Avila on that stage, and then seeing his wife, and he's got a great looking family,
and his three kids, yeah.
And his three kids stand there, and the smiles they had on their face because they've seen it all, and it just—I don't know—it made Memorial Day, made it a little bit nicer weekend. I'm curious, as a Vietnam guy, how do you personally handle Memorial Day, Bob?
I really don't particularly care for it.
Right.
I always end up watching the concert, and since I've known so many of the vets that they've honored on there, it's kind of neat to see him on the stage.
Right.
But my wife always says you get depressed during that, and it's not good for you. But to me, I think it's a great, great event. A good friend of mine who's a Vietnam amputee, Jack Farley, one of his buddies from college, Jack was wounded badly in Vietnam, helped put that concert together. And I think it's a remarkable tribute. And instead of everybody running around wishing each other happy Memorial Day, everybody going to sit down and watch the goddamn TV and see it, see what these people are going through. And so this year we had a little picnic in our community that I live in. There's a bunch of old farts in the community. It's a 55-plus community. But we had a couple of vets over for the picnic, and it worked out well. And so they got a chance to talk to some of the older veterans in the community. But it's, I don't particularly like the day because I think most Americans don't either know or give a shit about Memorial Day. Sorry for my blunt opinion.
No, look, you're with your people. Feel free. You know what, Bob, but and again, this is to me, you know, the American people, they're great people. To me, it's just a case of ignorance. They don't know.
Well, your daughter, they didn't even mention it in the school.
Yeah.
I mean, my God, at that age, they ought to be stressing that for the kids that age. So
yeah,
they know what the hell Memorial Day is.
Do you think they talked about Mother's Day? Hell yeah. Mother's Day, right? Because Mother's
Day. And Valentine's Day.
Oh, yeah. All that shit. But, you know, and again, it's troubling. And again, in what I said the other day was, it's troubling because it isn't about thank you for your service. That wrong weekend, bro.
Right.
Wrong
exactly.
weekend.
That's in the fall.
This is about the million people, as General Kelly said, that have given their lives for this country, and most importantly, because there's nothing we can do for them except honor them. Two, I think, three things. One, making sure that you know what a Gold Star family is. And making sure that you know that there's people like the Avalas out there that we should also think about on Memorial Day because they've given it all and their lives will never be the same. And
exactly.
are you doing anything to help? And so ask yourself that one. Two, Lincoln's Gettysburg Address. Think, what do you owe the country given that sacrifice and the fact that you've won the Ovarian lottery to live here? Do you owe anything, or is it just a money grab? You're having a good time, making as much money you can, and that's it. Think about that. And the answer is you owe something. You owe service, right? Food to the food bank, clothes to the shelter, and volunteer in your community. If you do that, you know, we love you. And then three,
but Michael,
you
never knew
vote.
That until you got out of the country, compliments of the Marine Corps.
No, I didn't. That's why I say it's just a case of ignorance.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so, but if the schools aren't educated, then that's a problem. That's a problem because it's important. These Gold Star families are important. That weekend's important that you don't have people running around saying, hey, happy Memorial Day. Hey, shut the fuck up. What? Hey, what's wrong? Why is he in such a bad mood? Because you don't.
Yeah, no, pay attention.
Yeah,
pay attention.
It's not. But you know, I heard that. I heard that from Joe Buck. Said it starting the baseball game. Hey, happy Memorial Day weekend, everybody. Joe Buck live from Yankee Stadium. Where, like, are you kidding me? Joe Buck. He's dumb as hell. So anyway, all right. So
one other thing I wanted to mention about these TBI families. When I came back from Vietnam, I was at St. Olaf's Naval Hospital. I had a broken leg. But we had a bunch of wounded vets there. We'd go out and have beer at the bar across the street from St. Albans.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them was an Army captain with TBI, lost a big chunk of his brain. That they'd taken out part of his skull. They hadn't even put a plate in. We'd go into the bar and drink beer. And he lost his ability to do numbers. And he had been trained as a college-educated accountant. And then, mm-hmm. Now this is 1967, they were training him to redo numbers with other parts of his brain. Now, when I told TBI vets like Maxwell and Pat Horan about that, they were astounded that people were actually experimenting with that 50 years ago. But it's been a long, long process to learn how to do that. And there's a whole lot of progress we still need to do. I mean, you know, we got tons and tons and tons we need to do to help these vets recover from the traumatic brain injury.
Is that the one area, Bob, that you would say is most astounding to you? Because you know, there's not too many, honestly, there's not too many guys that have the time in to the endeavor of dealing with wounded people that you do. There's not too many.
Well, I've been coming here 15 years, and I did it kind of on a lark because I felt guilty from Vietnam. And one thing's led to another, and I've been blessed and fortunate in being able to do it and getting support from people like Turner to help do it. But you see things that I never knew and understood, and I've been around wounded vets in Vietnam. But what really has amazed me as I've come over here, you know, at first we all paid attention to the amputees. Everybody sees the amputees. And the truth is, when the politicians and all them come up here, they all want to get their pictures taken with the worst amputee in the room. Well, in my opinion, that's kind of bullshit. Because the brain injuries, the traumatic brain injuries, are in some cases many, many times worse than the amputees.
It's not a good.
They don't get any attention.
It's not a good picture.
Because they look normal.
It's not a good picture.
No.
Right.
And it doesn't make a great picture. So when the presidential elections were going on 8 years ago and so on and so forth, everybody's running around, I want my picture with a triple. But the guy that was shot in the head isn't getting any attention. You know, they ought to be getting their picture with Tim Maxwell and Pat Horan. So I started to pay a lot more attention to the traumatic brain injuries. And that's when I really began to realize how much I didn't know or understand about what the caregivers go through. And that, the general American public doesn't pay any attention to them. And it is one huge burden because you're like a doctor or nurse on call 24/7 for the rest of your life. That's why Pat Horan's therapy dog, Wilson, is with him because of seizures. If he has a seizure, the dog sounds the alarm.
I got an email for you.
You know.
Matt, question for you relative to the finances of military members with severe lifelong disabilities. How is that paid for? I know they get a retirement, and I'm sure they get disability as they're 100% disabled. Is there anything else that they give? Because certainly that would not be enough to cover the care that
they
need.
Well, they get medical care. They get TRICARE. And then they have the ability in many of these cases to come back to places like Walter Reed or Brooks Army.
Right.
So there is, and of course there's the whole VA system out there. But you're dealing with complicated injuries, and you just don't transfer that from one facility to another like you would with a sprained ankle.
Right. What about in-home care? If somebody needed a nurse or
there are some
that's
programs
all that should
that
be
are out there.
That should be covered through insurance, right? TRICARE, yes.
There are, but I'm not that familiar with it. Right. I don't know my ass from first base about it, but there are some, and also people like Wounded Warriors have started a program where they have like mentors come to help vets that are confined to the home with TBI, mentors that come over so like the wife can get out and go get her hair done or get to the store, things like that, which is a hugely good program, but doesn't get any publicity at all. And I mean, that's something that Wounded Warriors deserves a lot of credit for.
All right, we have to take a quick break. When I come back, I've got an email that asks me to ask you a question about Wounded Warrior. Because they were in the news last week, so
yep.
we're gonna take a break. My guest is the patron saint of All Marine Radio, Bob Nielsen, and we're going to continue our conversation with him here on a Transition Thursday coming up next. So don't touch your dial. More of All Marine Radio coming up next on the All Warrior Radio Network. This hour of All Marine Radio is brought to you by our friends at Battle Mug, home of the world-famous Battle Mug. Starts as 10 pounds of aluminum. It's milled, machined, anodized, adorned with Picatinny rails, and then stamped with the serial number, and it's ready for you to make your own. Anything that went on your rifle or pistol can go on your mug. Scope, laser, camera, light. Put a lid on it, and you're ready for the field. If you're inside, add a flag and an emblem, and you're set. Perfect for any commemorative event. farewell, promotion, retirement, birthday, anniversary, or get out of the doghouse. The Battle Mug is the perfect unique gift. Check out the entire line of product at BattleMug.com. Enter the promo code Marine for 15% off. Battle Mug is a veteran-owned and operated company. The product is made entirely in the United States. Check it out, BattleMug.com.
My name is Juan Perez, Jr. I joined the military in 98. I commissioned as an officer. But I always had in mind the idea that I would go into the special operations community, particularly the special forces. I was accepted to go into selection, and I attended on September 8th of 2001. As I was making my departure out of the military, there was that uncertainty. What do I do next? How do I repurpose my skills in a way that's not only meaningful to me, but also that provides for my family and provides an increase in our a way of living, a quality of life. The Global South Foundation has resources when it comes to anything from building resumes to how to relate to a CEO in conversation, how to basically, again, repurpose that which I had learned in a career in special operations, dealing at the strategic and operational level. How do I take that and then turn it towards entrepreneurial spirit into business development? And how do I translate that so somebody can see that value? And in doing so, I landed a magnificent and very rewarding career. I'm the VP of operations for an IT company called BuildSourced. What I say to veterans getting out, be bold. Be bold when you go to network. Go out to the Global South website, look at what events they have lined up, attend those events, you know, and participate. A lot of the events they hold, they're of key importance in this network. Go out there and engage, just like you would engage in a combat zone, you know, when you're networking there. With folks that don't share necessarily your language, your culture, or your background, and yet we still make it happen. How can we not make it happen here?
The Global Soft Foundation is a great partner of All Marine Radio. Find out more about them at globalsoftfoundation.org/Marines. Are you Mustangs? Listen up. The Marine Corps Mustang Association is comprised of Marine Corps officers and officers from other military services who share a common background. They're a group of men and women who initially enlisted and served with distinction in the Marine Corps and the Marine Corps Reserve enlisted ranks. The term Mustang refers to a commissioned or warrant officer who has risen from the enlisted rank. In their 33rd year of existence, the association continues to dedicate itself to the advocacy of professional development and encouragement of younger Marines, demonstrating a pathway for advancement and offering mentoring, advice, and camaraderie over the course of their military service and civilian careers. The Marine Corps Mustang Association is looking for a few good Mustangs to join their association. Contact them via their website at MarineCorpsMustang.org, or you can find them on Facebook. Go ahead and like them there. Most importantly, join their association and help them continue the great work that they do. That's the Marine Corps Mustang Association. Join it today.
MilitaryByOwner.com is an excellent resource for any military family moving to a new area. We found a ton of homes to choose from and purchased a house 8 days later. This was the only site I used. Thanks, Military by Owner.
Are you PCSing? Do you need to find a home near a military base quickly? With over 45,000 listings and 15 years of experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base, MilitaryByOwner.com can help. Military by Owner. Proven and dependable.
You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network. /7:47 Yeah, just like the airplane. That's why I host this show, because I think of things like that. Joining me from the East Coast, where it is 10:47. That's another reason I host this thing, because I can do math. Bob Nielsen, former Captain, United States Marine Corps, Vietnam guy, and patron saint of All Marine Radio. Nielsen, let me read you the email. Mac, I'm curious. Bob's thoughts on Wounded Warrior. Senator Chuck Grassley released a report last week from the Senate looking into Wounded Warrior and the way they operate. Long story short, Wounded Warrior claims that 80% of donations go to programs. What Grassley found and what went public last week is that, in fact, only 68% of donations go to programs. That, to me, is an astounding number. I remember when I was on active duty, when we would look at combined federal campaign numbers, they would give a number of what is going to administrative costs. Anything over 6 or 7% caught your eye. What in God's name is going on at Wounded Warrior where they would need 32% of all donations to go to their programs? I know Bob has done a lot of work with them, and I know they have done good work, but it seems like they still struggle relative to devoting more money to programs. It seems like they're living too high to me. I contrast that with what I see from the Semper Fi Fund that has a very, very low percentage going to overhead. I'm just curious about Bob's thoughts as we all kind of navigate this. Nielsen?
Let me start this off with a positive statement.
Okay.
Under General Lindemann, retired three-star Army general who took over a year and a half ago running Wounded Warriors, there's been a huge change. They are a much better organization. They're paying attention to the nuts and bolts of what goes on. They're paying attention to the wounded. They're paying attention to the families. When you read these accounting reports, and particularly congressional reports on percentages and stuff, take it with a grain of salt, because a whole lot of that is how they do accounting and so on and so forth. I felt the old leadership of Wounded Warriors were off in la-la land too often. They did things that really didn't make a whole lot of sense. Under the new leadership, the past 2 years, they've been phenomenal. They've been great at supporting what we do with 100 entrepreneurs. They've been great at working with us. We just had a program with Wounded Warriors here in Washington, D.C., where we put on a full-day program for 12 veterans to start up their own businesses, and we had three staff, including a wounded vet, help analyze their businesses. So I think the new program is working well. Don't take these numbers that you hear from congressional reports as gospel.
Okay.
You got to take them with a grain of salt and really dig into what's there. But they're doing much, much better. They're a good organization, and they really give a shit about helping the vets and their families.
Okay, so if I asked you, would you give them money? And
yes.
And have they learned their lesson, and are they on pointing the right direction, you would
yes.
say?
Yes.
Yes. Okay, look, you're supposed to let me ask the goddamn question before you start saying yes, okay?
I think like you.
Don't try to put it on me when you're atoning for your own sins, okay? I don't go
No, they're
that.
Doing good. They're okay. doing good. They made a lot of mistakes in the old days. They don't make them now. They're not out suing little nonprofits and all the bullshit that used to go on. They're really doing good stuff.
Okay.
And Mike Lindemann, the guy that's running it, is doing a great job.
Okay. From next question, you and I have been working on a project with Turner Construction. I want to talk about that.
Yep.
We're starting to make a little bit of headway. Tell everybody about this partnership we have going between 100 entrepreneurs, between Turner Construction, All Marine Radio, what we're trying to do.
Well, about 2 or 3 months ago, I was up in New York, and I had lunch one day with the president of Turner, president and CEO, Peter Davern, and the retired president and CEO of Turner International, Nick Bilotti, and we were talking about a lot of different things. And Peter Davern said, you know, we hire 400 to 500 college graduates a year. I'd like 10% of those to be combat veterans. He says, we've had good experience with the wounded veterans that you brought into the company. He said, I'd like to see us get more combat veterans. So we were talking about it and thinking about it, and we came up with the idea that why not try to get the word out on this through All Marine Radio. And we've been talking. I've been interviewed with you, Michael, several times. We've had Matt Parker interviewed, an Army double above knee amputee. We've had Pat Murray interviewed, a Marine Corps machine gunner above knee amputee who went to work. They both went to work for Turner. They both did great jobs. And there's a real opportunity if you like what you're doing in the service and you can lead a team and to go to some godforsaken place to get something done, to do the same thing in the construction industry, both domestically and overseas.
And it doesn't necessarily need to be a godforsaken place.
No. It could be San Francisco, New York, Southern California, Texas. It could be anywhere. But we build all over the world, but we are looking for guys and gals that are interested in career opportunities at a management level position. And what we're really doing is we believe what you've learned in the service, in your 3, 4, 5, 6, 8 years in the service, is you've learned how to get things done. You've learned how to put together a team of people and go get a project completed and operational and underway successfully. And so we're saying that what you've done in the service is the equivalent of being in college studying academics. Now, there's a whole lot of academicians that wouldn't agree with that, but we think it works, and yeah, we proved it.
And we don't give a shit what they think.
No, exactly. And so we've actually had two vets submit already. One that turned out was a machine gun Marine, a friend of Pat Murray's, who already owns a disabled vet-owned construction company, and his paperwork went into Turner last week. And the one a week before was an Army Lieutenant Colonel who acquired 2 Bronze Stars in the course of several combat tours and had spent a whole lot of time doing logistical stuff. So we think the process is going to work. I got a meeting with the Turner HR people next week to make sure they're following up on their end. I want to get some Turner veteran in HR to be kind of the focal point to work with this and gradually introduce them to all Marine radio. But it's a great opportunity. And it's a great opportunity, and it doesn't have to be in the field. It doesn't, it can be in estimating, it can be in the office, it can be logistics, it can be a lot of things. But you can put as much passion and energy into it as you did for doing what you did in the military and get the same idea of rewards out of it. And what we believe is creating career opportunities like this is going to catch on with other big industry.
Right.
Because the vets are such a wonderful, wonderful resource. And I just pay attention to the vets as great, great, you got a great potential when the company can latch on to them at a young age and create another career for them. And we're having success with it. And we're going to continue to do this, and we're going to get some other vets to come in and interview with Michael, with you, and then people like Pat Murray and Matt Parker, and let them talk about what their experiences are.
Because you and I have talked about, you don't need to have a construction background. You know what they're looking for is problem solvers, leaders, people who've done real world stuff.
Common sense. Can you walk and chew gum?
Right, and it's resident.
You can't chew gum in the military, but you know what I'm talking about.
Exactly. Well, you can if you've done it long enough. Okay, somebody could have trained you to chew gum. You may have not, you may have not thought about, a career in construction. But if somebody said, hey, look, we're looking for these skills, problem solver, team leader, go-getter, good with people. I mean, what is that? What do you describe? What you're describing for me is a fire team leader, a section leader, a squad leader. Right. And who produces that? And we're biased, I know, but we believe the Marine Corps is the greatest leadership training ground that on the planet. And so
and that's why I love when I hear you and the gunner talk and Mike Musselman and talk, because Mike would have been phenomenal in the construction industry. All those skills that he developed to become an amazing, amazing warrant officer would have been phenomenal in the civilian world.
Right.
He's got those people skills.
All those linguistic skills to get him in all that trouble, and then those same linguistic skills trying to get him out of it.
Yeah. And that's the kind of thing you want. I mean, right. And those are the kinds of skills that we're looking for. And we want anybody that's interested in this, Google 100 Entrepreneurs, Google Bob Nielsen, send me an email, robertn802@mac.com. We'll send Michael McNamara at All Marine Radio an email. Get a hold of us. Get us a resume. You can also go on the Turner Construction website. There's a place where you can fill in an application. But I want to make sure you mention what we're doing and mention this veteran program, because we will get you opportunities. And that's what our goal is.
All right.
We think it makes great sense, and we think other industries could do the same thing.
Without a doubt. And let me tell you, they're not doing anybody but themselves a favor. And so if you know business owners, tell them to contact us because we can help their HR side.
We're happy to talk to them.
You know, and let me tell you, there's no greater pool out there of achievers, of hard workers, people that can get their ass chewed. Yeah. You want to hire people whose ass you could chew? Hire Marines. They could take an ass chewing. You want to hire a group that's used to working hard, that's used to doing hard tasks? The military. I'm telling you. And so, to me, you're not doing us a favor. You're doing yourself a favor. Okay? You're doing yourself a favor. And so to all you Marines out there that are listening to this, if you know people that are transitioning, tell them to just shoot us an email and say, hey, look.
Michael, all servicemen and women.
Right.
We're looking for men and women. We had a female double amputee here about 8 or 9 years ago, went down to Tennessee, and she had a bunch of personal problems that got in the way, but we were all set to get her to come work with us, and she was going to work in administration and eventually get into computer work. And so we're interested because you've got that military background that you got your shit together. So that's where we're going with this.
All right. And you can send Nielsen, N-I-L-S-S-O-N. Yeah, it's spelled goofy. I know that. All right. Don't blame me. It's his fault. It's his name. Okay? So, or you can send me an email. AllMarineRadio.com. So just get word to us some way, yep, shape, or form, and we'll get you pointed in the right direction. All right, what else do you need to get off your chest before I let you go?
No, I wanted to let you know that I was over at Walter Reed a couple of times this week, and you keep seeing amazing vets. We got a quadruple amputee over here who got a double arm transplant that's making an absolutely astounding progress. He got the double arm transplant about, oh, God, it was 6-7 months ago, and he's just making incredible progress. And they're doing great things. They really do great things, and we get a lot of vets coming back here for limb salvage.
Is it working? Is it double arm amputee?
Yeah.
Is that working?
Oh, yeah. This is the second one that this happened with. You know, there were 5 quadruple amputees in this war, and 2 of them have had double arm transplants. And it's a long, long process. He'll be dealing with, like, 3 years of rehab. But it's astounding to watch them do it. It's just amazing to see what they can do.
Wow. Wow.
And you think you lose your arms and your legs, and you're like that for 3 years in rehab, and then you get back on again. That's some astounding transition.
Wow.
Now, what they've done here at Walter Reed, and likewise with Brooks Army down in Texas and Balboa in California, is incredible in terms of helping these wounded vets. It's really remarkable, and I don't think the general public appreciates how we really at Walter Reed have become the cutting edge in this kind of medicine. They're doing this osteo something or other things where they insert titanium rods in the stump of the leg or the stump of the arm now, and you slip the prosthetic on over that, and they're doing more and more of it, and it's working.
Did you say?
And that titanium rod stays in the leg. In the arm.
Did you say osteo something something or other?
Yeah, it's osteo integration or osteo something, some big medical term that
okay.
I can't tell or understand.
That's a technical term. You're not going to hear that term in very many other places other than All Marine Radio, okay? You're not going to hear osteo something 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 or other. That's a technical term. We understand it, okay? So,
yep.
All right, Nielsen.
It's a pin on the end of your stump. So you can plug the prosthetic device on, and it does amazing things. They've got a young Army guy here, a very high leg amputation, and they're doing it, and he'll probably be able to walk with this damn thing.
You know,
amazing stuff.
It is amazing, and I'll tell you what, the other amazing thing is how far forward incredible medical technology is pushed, because when you see high amputations, just know this, that some vascular surgeon in some hospital pushed way forward was racing time as he was tying off veins, as blood was gushing out, because you can't tourniquet that. The amputation's too high.
And Mike, think about this for a second.
It's amazing that those guys are even alive, but they are today. And
the people, You've been interviewing like Matt Parker and Pat Murray, and when you get the Avilas on, they wouldn't have survived in Vietnam. They wouldn't have been alive.
No. No.
It's unbelievable what they're able to do nowadays. And this medicine that's been developed here in these places is spreads out to the private sector. That's why a bunch of the, not a bunch, but a few of the Boston Marathon bombing victims ended up coming down here for rehab.
Let me just tell you, God, who did I interview that wrote the article in the
Patrick Downs.
Okay, so Patrick Downs, Boston Marathon bombing, civilian, right, never served.
Yep.
Right, so he goes down. He's a single
him
leg.
And his wife. Both lost.
Right. He's telling the story. Single leg, but no below the knee amputee. Right. So he comes in and he said, "Yeah, those guys would tease me, right? Because I have like the least significant kind of amputation. Oh, does Patrick have a boo boo? Does Patrick have a paper cut?" And
he's got a paper cut.
You know, and then he's telling the story, and he's laughing. But you can imagine these guys busting his balls, you know, like, yeah, your amputation. Get out of here with that thing, okay?
It's been great because he's been helping all these wounded vets get involved in doing marathons on hand-crank bikes and stuff. Unbelievable.
And he also put his foot up to Boston Athletic Association's ass too, which was nice because any bad thing that could happen to Boston, I'm all about. I'm all about promoting that. So anyway,
but you can't tell him that's the only reason you had him on.
Oh, it wasn't. No, he's part of our tribe, right? He's got a piece of it, and he's and again, calling them out for that. I mean, honestly, that's astounding, Bob. I mean, in this day and age, that he would have to stick his foot up their ass to get them to do, you know, and you see the Marine Corps Marathon. Yeah, I get it. Maybe we should be the standard setter because it's our tribe and we open up doors wide for everybody and we don't care. If somebody trips, you know, because there's a wheelchair guy there, too bad. Get up and run, jackass. Okay. Next time, get out of his way because he probably suffered those amputations, he probably suffered those in combat. So if anybody has priority in this race, it ain't you with two legs, trust me.
Let somebody tell you, oh, we don't do it that way because it's tradition to only have able-bodied runners. Yeah. What a crock of shit.
You can stick that up your ass, too. So, anyway. All right. All right, Nielsen, thanks for getting me fired up.
Okay, keep up the good work, and I'll get you a good contact with Claudia. And we'll see about getting them to be able to talk to you.
Well, first of all, just tell her from all of us how inspiring that. I'm sure she's heard it already, but tell her that we admire her tenacity and her gritted teeth. And when they said, you know, you have to accept that some you have to let go, she said, "I'm not letting go of anything." Right?
Luis is an inspiration to us.
Awesome, awesome. All right, sir. Thank you.
Okay.
Great talking. The patron saint of All Marine Radio, Bob Nielsen, right here.
Take care.
All right, have a good day. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, you're going to meet Curtis Jones, Gunnery Sergeant, United States Marine Corps, retired, and he post-traumatic stress, and he bumps into Daryl Hill and changes his life a little bit. So we're going to talk to Curtis Jones on a Thursday edition, Transition Thursday, right here on All Marine Radio, on the All Warrior Radio Network, so don't touch that dial. Curtis Jones, next, Gunnery Sergeant, United States Marine Corps.